We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the program. Joe, Low, Dibs, you know how we do. 95.7 The Game. Great to have you with us. 30 minutes from now, Charlie Ward, 1993 Heisman Trophy winner, turned down football, went to the NBA, spent 11 years in the association. One thing people don't know about Charlie Ward, also drafted into Major League Baseball. Three-sport superstar on Kyler Murray in about 30 minutes at 6:30. 8 o'clock, LaDainian Tomlinson. 8:30, Gary Safecheat.
Brushed you that?
Can't wait to talk to the Saint. The saintly one at 8:30.
Saint at 8:30 and Tim Roy at 9:30.
Awesome Warrior
conversation.
You want
to talk about Mount Guestmore? Yeah, LaDainian Tomlinson at 8 o'clock.
All right, we got four guests. So
LT,
I guess, 8 o'clock. I guess you got to put LT on the mound because we only have four guests today. So
maybe a late booking.
Steinmetz
will come
in late.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Is Charlie Ward Hall of Famer?
Maybe we can.
Charlie Ward. He is. College Football Hall of Fame.
Okay.
That had to hurt just a little bit.
Jokes aside, thank you for reaching out to LT for today, because with the Chargers in New England to take on the Patriots, 2007, we saw you guys at Foxborough. Phillip was banged up. LT was banged up. That's probably – you know what? Let me ask. Of the four games this weekend, what are you most interested to watch? We're going to get to Boogie in just a minute here, but we didn't even talk about this before the show. Is that the game you're the most interested to see, or is there another one on the schedule?
I think the Kansas City game for me, because Indy is coming in so hot. That one's maybe a little bit more compelling, but something about the Chargers, maybe it's your Super Bowl pick and the fact that you almost gave up on it in week two and then...
Week one. Actually, the opening kick return by Kansas City, I had given up on it about 11 seconds into the season.
Yeah, and they've righted the ship, and they look to be primed for the upset, but then you remember it's good old San Diego, or in this case, L.A., so it is an interesting game.
It's interesting, Joe, because you bring that up, and you talk about 2007, but you'd be remiss if you didn't talk about 2006. That's when the team was at full guns. 2007, LT was coming off injury, Phillip had major surgery. Guys were hurt. I'm coming off a broken leg. 2006, that's the game where we played. We beat the Indianapolis Colts.
Wasn't that Patriots at Chargers?
Yes.
They were at Qualcomm.
Yes.
The Murph!
And that's the game that I think to change just my history. Just that's the one that just, you just pull the knife. And you're like, how did this happen? How did this one get away?
That was the divisional round.
Yes,
correct?
Divisional. Okay. We had a bye week. We beat Indianapolis Colts. That we're the only team to beat them. We were sitting there. They come in. We're up on them. Freaking. That's when McCree, the interception.
McCree
tried to take it back to the house. We're winning. Losing that game.
LT, he just goes down, you end up winning the game.
Winning that game. And then LT didn't have any touches. We talk about that. And that's the one where LT
went on the game. The Patriots were celebrating at midfield.
LT's
trying to cut somebody.
He tried to cut him. Absolutely. But that's that year, besides Ron McCree, it ain't no way in the world we should have won that game. No way in the world.
We'll revisit all those old wounds.
I cannot wait.
Low and LT at 8 o'clock today.
This is shaping up to be a great program.
Oh, my God.
Man, that hurts.
We've got tickets. I'm not allowed to announce what the tickets are for until 7 because it's a secret. It's one of those emails where they say you cannot announce the act. I will say this. The act is in the next few months, and it's taking place at Oracle. It's going to be awesome.
The fat boys are back.
Pairs of tickets to give away to this secret act. 8:45 today. That'll be right before Beat the Bookie, and we'll have Low versus Dibs at 9:45. We begin with your Golden State Warriors. Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins is expected to start in his first game back. We can put all of the debate aside. Will he come off the bench? Will he start? The plan for Boogie, according to Steve Kerr, is that he will start. He will play between 12 and 16 minutes per game. They're hoping he'll play about 4 minutes per quarter. He'll open with the starters, and then he'll work with the backup units later in the game. Steve Kerr asked recently about whether or not maybe Boogie can make his debut next week, Wednesday, at home against the Pelicans, had this to say.
The idea is we have to give ourselves a little leeway. I mean, that Clipper game is sort of the one we've targeted. We should give ourselves some leeway on either side because we have to see how the next week goes. So I suppose it's a possibility that it could be New Orleans. Maybe there's a possibility that it's whoever's after the Clippers. I don't even know who we play then, but
Lakers.
So something, that's the range that we're looking at.
Quick run, Steve. You know you got the Lakers after the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't, man, you are just really...
Oh, no, he knows.
Just as even-keeled as they come, because we've been looking at that game for weeks. Now, we have heard over the last few days from Kerr on Boogie Cousins, from Steph, Clay, and KD on Boogie Cousins. How about we actually hear from Boogie Cousins?
This is the next step for me. I finished the rehab process. Now I was just getting acclimated with the guys, finding my wind, finding my legs. I'm not expecting to come out and score 50 points or anything like that. It'd be great if I could, but that's not my expectations. You know, just coming out, being a part of the team, and winning the game, that's good enough for me.
All right, you like the plan? He's going to start and play 12 to 16 minutes per night, roughly 4 minutes per quarter.
Yeah, that's basically what we had talked about, and that's the way I kind of saw this going, is with a guy who hasn't played in a year, and you want to get his wind up, as Boogie said, get his legs up as well, but also kind of learn to play with this Golden State Warrior team. Not only to learn with new teammates, but the Warriors are going to play a different style with DeMarcus in the game. They're going to go through him a little bit more in the low post. They're going to play different on offense. So you don't want to allocate a ton of time to playing in a different way with a guy who's not quite fit. You start him, you give him the 4 minutes, see how it goes, wait until the second quarter and do the same thing.
You reading from the same hymnal?
Actually, I don't think he's reading from the same hymnal. Give me the music, please. Dear beloved.
Wow, 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 wow.
We're gathered here today. The flounder fish as usually. Mr. Dan Diddley said, that's what I figured and that's what I thought. This is how I do it. Everyone on the text line, and Dan Dibley included, called me crazy. Called me Crazy Joe. Get the locks off the door, Crazy Joe. He said that Boogie was going to come off to the bench. I fought on an island all by myself that day in studio. So, Dibley, may that test.
Rest in that peace.
That take.
A lot going on here.
Yeah.
First of all, bravo to you having this set up. You had some music. You clearly coordinated this with the back room. Nicely done. I will applaud that. Anytime a little preparation's put into anything, that's what gets me going.
Yeah.
A little preparation and organization.
That was preparation really H, Coach, is what that was. That's what that preparation was.
Because you feel as if you have been funeralized improperly.
Improperly. First of all,
buried alive, as they say.
I'm the one who said from the start that you start him. I never said that he would come off the bench. So for you to intimate that I said that he should come off the bench without proof, without tape, that is wildly inappropriate. It's like you buried a guy who was still alive.
I can't wait.
Because guy's gonna, like, standing there on the street, at the corner, trying to get a burrito.
I'm knocking from the inside of the casket. If someone come in here and slap me, I'm alive.
Keep on knocking, but you can't come in. We're going to find that. I remember we had a day, Joe, and it was just, did Boogie start? Should he start? And everyone's like, no, he shouldn't start. The text line was on me. I said, this guy start. I said, you don't bring a guy here of that caliber and not start him. They said, he should come off the bench. I said, no, he's been here. He's an all-star. And they said, it's too many balls. And I stood all along going toe-to-toe. And now this guy, the flounder fish, jumps out of the water and flips on the other side and says, I've been saying that all along. No, 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 you haven't.
All right, so it's possible that people have an opinion and then they change their opinion. That can happen. You come across new information. You decide, you know what? I really like this scenario. I don't like it anymore. Is it possible? Were you on that side originally? Because there is no tape to back it up, which is very unfortunate here. But that doesn't mean I'm going to assume Lo is just making this up. Was there a point in your memory that you remember saying Boogie should be coming off the bench?
I cannot recall. I believe he was asking me a question, not asking you to ask Anna. We'll get Top Rope to chime in here and undoubtedly before we dip out. Earlier this week, we had a discussion, this very same discussion, and I was the one who said you absolutely have to start him when you have a player with an Achilles tendon injury and you get a nice good warm-up. Is this sounding a little familiar? Is this ringing any bells over there?
1,000.
Inside that beautiful grilled cheese laden head?
Yes. He's agreeing with that.
Yes, I'm agreeing 1,000%.
But you're saying this is a take from before that.
Absolutely.
Before that, you were on the other side.
Absolutely. Well,
where's the tape? And the recency bias would indicate to you that this very week, maybe yesterday as a matter of fact, we talked about it, and I was the one who said, you don't bring him off the bench. You start him so he can come fresh off the warm-up and give him the best chance to succeed.
I honestly remember there was a big debate, and I want to say I remember it was Lo that said it, that he should be starting.
You want to say it.
I want to say it.
You have to.
I know that there was a big debate.
Unfortunately, you got nothing.
I'm talking about
it was a big debate.
I'm talking about Joe.
Why don't you just make something up? It doesn't. At this point, everything's just made. Why don't you just make up that you remember Lo saying it? All right, so moving past the person who remembers there being a discussion, but not actually not sure who's on what side. Anyone in the back remember what Lo's talking about? Can anyone verify any of this? I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Nice guy doesn't even want to look through the glass. Cody is not even paying attention to us right now. We're not even 10 minutes into the show. Text line, the producer has already checked out.
You text line. If you guys remember
when it was disorganized radio segment of all time.
I hope the people come through. And I'm telling you, Joe, I'm talking about it was ugly.
You're banking on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795.
That I got motorboated. People was like, oh, look, people even called in. Oh, and people was like, Lo, some people were with me. You got to start him. Lo, you're right. He's an all-star. You can't take this guy off the bench. Everyone was, I'm telling you, I can't believe you don't remember.
Poke holes in the casket, please, while my funeral's already done? Because I'm still alive.
Got to get an oxygen
tank
in there.
Okay, 209. I remember.
209, right, look, of course.
We're not just going to
randomly look to the text line and say,
this is good
because
radio.
Because the 209 chimed in low.
707-650.
Joey, it was a huge deal. I can't believe you don't remember. I mean, it was ugly. I was on an island. I mean, it was, no, you can't start. It's not enough ball. You can't do it that way. Let him come off and run with the twos where he can have a score. I was like, no, he's an all-star. You can't start this guy. He was brought all here right. to start.
All right.
We'll
try to get to the bottom of it, but we actually probably won't.
The 707. Like Lowe's delirious. I can't believe that. I mean, you're really good.
So much hearsay. So much hearsay as Dibs is buried alive as we're shoveling dirt onto a casket with a live man inside.
Buried alive.
Okay, so we got to none of what we were aiming to get to there. Literally none, except for the actual headline. We had the headline, and then there were 12 points underneath. We didn't even get to point one. Not even point one. Unbelievable. We'll revisit this conversation. Also, yesterday, the recruitment of Antonio Brown continued, this time with a twist. We'll have that for you next year on 95.7 The Game.
This morning, Hall of Famer LaDainian Tomlinson chops it up with his former teammate, Lorenzo Neal. Joe and Dibs will be there, too. LaDainian Tomlinson with Joe Lo and Dibs. This morning at 8 on the exclusive home of the NFL playoffs. 95.7. The Game. Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
4 hours. 4 15-minute segments per hour means 16 total segments for a show. We're 0 for 1 here on 95.7 The Game.
Right. This is the first time this ever happened, though, Joe.
Yeah. We usually come out really strong and organized. It is a Football Friday brought to you by Mancini Sleep World, Golden State Lumber, and Harris Ranch Beef here on 95.7 The Game. With a reminder, the beef line today at 7:30. Best calls are played every Monday and Friday at 7:30. Best of the best wins a gift certificate, courtesy of our friends at Harris Ranch, at the end of the month. Still time to get involved. 415-403-8588. Is Lo right? Was he the only one in the room saying Boogie should start? And was Dibs wrong? Or should Lo be funeralized for that premature funeral?
Oh, my God.
415-403-8588. For those of you looking for playoff action, 95.7 The Game is your home for the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl. Divisional round coverage starts Saturday with Colts and Chiefs at 1 p.m. We've got five big questions for the NFL divisional round playoffs coming up at 6:45 after our conversation with Charlie Ward, which is going to take place at 6:30. But for right now, the recruitment of one Antonio Brown continues. Yesterday, Antonio Brown, the much maligned Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver, posted a tweet of him. It was a picture of him with Art Rooney II, the president of the Steelers, back when he originally signed that big contract. Both of them are smiling. Both of them are looking happy. And in the picture, Brown simply tweets, "Good business, hashtag booming." Over the top of that is a retweet from one Joe Staley with just a hand-waving emoji. So you've got George Kittle recruiting Antonio Brown. You've got Joe Staley recruiting Antonio Brown. You have Richard Sherman and Jimmy Garoppolo getting involved in the recruitment of Antonio Brown. In addition, you have Art Rooney II yesterday saying all other options are on the table regarding how they're going to handle Brown, because he said the team will not release him, but all other options are on the table. So essentially, they are looking to trade him. Steelers are open for business. The Niners continue their recruitment. The biggest concern we've had about the recruitment of Antonio Brown is whether or not he'll fit the culture, whether or not he would be a problem in the locker room. So many players, 20 years of experience between Richard Sherman and Joe Staley recruiting this guy. Doesn't it lead you to believe that if all these veteran players in the locker room want him, that they would believe they could make it work?
Yeah, it makes you pause and at least say, wow, players do believe in one another and believe that they can help change and help guys get better. And I think, Joe, we've got to see that firsthand this year. And a la Reuben Foster. Did not Daly, Sherman, all these guys recruit, say they got his back? Did not Sherman, right when he got here, did he not jump off a plane and go right to the courts, stand there, front of the place, show support, be the big brother, do all those things? Of course guys are going to want to do that. They know these individuals can help them win and get where they need to get. But when the dust clears and everything is said and done, who are these individuals in their heart? See, a lot of people think that if I could freaking change someone, if I can't change the heart, I can't change the mind, because the heart is something, has that feeling. If there is someone, what doesn't come out in the wash, we always say comes out in the rinse. If someone is has a bad seed and you know once you push them and they're, you know, they're going to turn or you do certain things, you have to realize what you're dealing with. My dad always told me a snake is always going to be a snake. He told us to tell me his story. He said, son, there was a man. He said he took home a snake. The snake was freezing, and he took the snake home. He warmed him when he was cold. He fed him when he was hungry. He did all these great things to the snake. And he said one day the man was sleeping in his bed, and he looked up, and the snake was over. And he said, Mr. Snake, what are you doing? I fed you. I did all these things for you, but now I'm getting, why are you getting ready to do this to me? And he said, one thing you forgot, man. I'm still a snake. And I don't know if this guy is still a snake. So you can do all these things for him.
You're calling him a snake right now. You're calling Antonio Brown a snake. The parable that you just drew implies that Antonio Brown is a snake. And to quote you, you are wrong and you're out of line. And I want this to be on the record, and make sure you pay attention this time, because I am in the camp of recruiting Antonio Brown. So you can add me to the list of all those other greats.
Mark the tape.
Staley, Sherman, Dibley, Kittle, etc., etc. Da da da. Thank you, Jimmy G. I have said from the start that I want the 49ers to bring. Go ahead. Knife in again, OJ. I want the 49ers to bring in Antonio Brown.
Joe.
Mark the tape.
Joe.
Mark the record. And for you to sit there and call him a snake is so wildly inappropriate. I couldn't sit by and watch this happen.
You want to make some money? I'll bet you $500 they do not bring this guy in here. They're not going to bring this guy in here. So I don't know what you're thinking. You can call me crazy. You can call me whatever you want.
Crazy.
This organization cannot afford to bring in Antonio Brown. They was going to be a pass.
Well, if you're John Lynch, if you're Kyle Shanahan, right, and you're tasked with making this decision ultimately, and you see that your stalwart left tackle, one of the most beloved players in franchise history, your starting quarterback, your all-world tight end, your vocal leader on defense, your productive leader on defense, Richard Sherman, all these guys are recruiting him. All of them want him. Do you not have to address that with the team at some point? Do you figure like Lynch maybe gets on the phone and talks to some of the leaders and goes, all right, you guys really like this guy. It seems like you're all over social recruiting him. I mean, if we bring him in, do you feel that we're going to be able to get him in line with the 49er way?
Well, I think, Joe, it's not even that. It doesn't even go that far. Guys are here in the OTAs offseason. They're in there working out. They're in town. So they go in there and work out. John Lynch comes downstairs. He's working out. Sherman said, hey,
man, everyone gets a nice sweat in.
Yeah. He said, hey, what's going on? You know, one of the Richards said, hey, man, what's going on with Antonio? Ah, man, we're going to pass. Oh, really? Why? Bro, we can't take the chance. We've already had some things. Richard, I don't know. He's a good talent, but I don't know if we can take the chance. Man, you see this guy?
It can be that informal, huh?
Hey, oh, my God. Yeah, every time.
You've seen this. All right.
Oh, yeah. AJ and those guys will be downstairs working out off season. I'm there.
This is AJ Smith, former general manager of the Chargers.
Absolutely. You just, when you got, you know, gravitas and you're a veteran guy, you talk to guys. I mean, hell, I called AJ at freaking 11 o'clock at night when Chris Dillman was getting ready to sign with Seattle. And I said, dude, Seattle, he's there. He's got the thing. He doesn't want to sign. You can call him right now. Let him know we're going to do something. Boom. Of course. They call
you.
Working it as a player agent. I love it.
Because, you know, the guys do that kind of things. Those
Chris kick anything back to you for all that?
No, not
really.
Just
a little taste, maybe? Just a little piece of the pie?
Dinner? A little anything?
A little dinner. Of course, dinner all the time. Dinner and drinks when I was putting it down. You know, got crazy.
Back in the good old days.
Got crazy.
Getting it in.
Oh, yeah.
I saw what you did to those sharps the other night at the game. I mean, those things went down like water, so I can only imagine.
Sharp stock up 8.4%.
Yeah.
Put it this way. I drank so many sharps, they ran out at the game. How about that?
Oracle's got like four dusty sharps just in case someone comes in and Lowe comes in and knocks them out of them. Sorry. Yeah. Sold out of sharps.
That's exactly what they told me. True friend. But now I think
just as readily, just as easily, they go down there and they're working out. And John says, what do you think? And
yeah.
Sherm says, look, my career's getting close to the end here. Let's bring him in. We can get him to obey the Niner way. And we can make this guy into an elite player and he won't be a distraction.
But this isn't the one time. And I get this. If this is a one time, Richard Sherman, you got to realize BA, he knows what he's doing. This isn't a one-time deal. Go look at this. This is an recurring deal year in and year out that he's going on silent, berating coaches, telling coaches, shut up, getting out of the way. Coaches trying to calm him down from getting around other players. He jerks away from them. He walks by his own drum. He's just, I mean, not that he's a, not that meaning is, when I'm talking about a snake, just meaning that, hey, this guy's go, you can't control him.
I like the story.
You can't, the story is unbelievable.
It was a good story.
Thank you.
The parable of the snake?
Yeah.
I just thought it was a little bit inappropriate to call Antonio Brown.
I'm sorry.
Somebody he's never met.
I'm sorry, Dan.
Look at you. Wow. You blew through it, and then you flipped it around on Dibs. That's pretty nicely done right there.
Cody was in there. Cody was in there.
He was offsides first. He gets the
flag. The best is Cody, every time you go over, he stands up and he signals me to break, and then I quietly have to tell him the microphone, I'm not the one talking. Radio him, it's time for break. It's been going on for months. It's remarkable.
I love you, Joe.
Remarkable. That's like me going to Putin and saying, you know, we got an issue with our southern border.
Oh.
Putin's not the one running the country. So they say. I don't know why I went to that.
Totally.
Charlie Ward, Heisman Trophy winner on Kyler Murray. The beauty of the being beauty. A multi-sport athlete and having these decisions. He'll be joining us next year on 95.7 The Game.
95.7 The Game presents the 6th Annual Gridiron Gala on Sunday, January 20th. It's the ultimate championship Sunday party at Hooters and Campbell. Hang out with all your favorite 95.7 The Game on-air personalities. Win prizes, plus food and drink specials all day. It all starts at 9 a.m. with a two-hour live pregame show. Details at 957thegame.com. Only from the Bay Area's football station. 95.7 The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, very few have pulled off what our following guest has pulled off. He was the 1993 Heisman Trophy winner. He is a College Football Hall of Famer. Spent 11 years in the NBA and was also drafted not once but twice into Major League Baseball. The great Charlie Ward joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, and we really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure by now you obviously are aware of the news. Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner, quarterback from Oklahoma, has decided to forego playing for the Oakland Athletics and enter the NFL draft. Take me through that process. What's it like to be a multi-sport athlete and to have this kind of decision on your table?
Well, I mean, it's always good to have options. That's one of the things that I always preach to younger kids about playing multiple sports. And, you know, when I was coming out, very similar situation when it came to just having options. Of course, he was drafted first round by the Oakland A's, which that wasn't my case. But he's made a decision, just like I did when it came down to what I was going to pursue, which, you know, before the draft happened, I pursued both of them. But I did put a major emphasis on basketball because I was so far behind when it came to the NBA NBA skills that I needed to be successful. And so I put a lot of time and energy into basketball before the drafts. But for Kyler, you know, you sit back, you think, you pray, you look at your options, and your decision has to, you know, go towards what you feel will better suit you. And whatever decision you make, you know that there are consequences for it. And so I knew my decision to not pursue or not put too much energy or time into the NFL because I knew the status that I was going to, you know, have, which was a third or fourth round, you know, grade is what I heard. So I wanted to give myself a legitimate chance to play both sports. And so I pursued basketball a little bit harder early on before the draft, and it worked out. And you have to make decisions and you have to live with them.
Charlie Loneal here. It's a great way to describe it. Now, if you were in a situation where this young quarterback, if he's going to be the top 10 picks, would that have changed the perception? It's quarterbacks now. It's no more, you know, guys got to run the great routes. The way the NFL has changed now, the smaller quarterbacks, small, you know, statue-wise, and being able to run through different zones and the way that the RPOs, is it different now? And would that have changed your outcome if you knew that you were going to be a top 5 or top 10 picks?
I'm sure it would have, I don't know if it would have changed my thought process, but definitely, you know, having a first round grade because the NFL had the first draft. You know, my whole life, you know, I've been built my reputation on, you know, being a man of my word for the most part. And, you know, with the NFL having the first draft, you know, I was going to, you know, give that opportunity to get drafted. If I didn't get drafted, then I was going to, or if I got drafted in a later round, I was going to consider my other options. However, of course, for me, it didn't happen that way. And, you know, the NBA gave me an opportunity. But, you know, I'm so happy that, you know, 25 years later, from my standpoint, you know, the shorter quarterback is getting an opportunity to be drafted into the first round. When I was coming along, that wasn't even an option or a thought process. But now I think teams are looking more at the outcome as opposed to the physical status of a person.
Sure.
Which I'm grateful for.
Former Heisman Trophy winner Charlie Ward here on 95.7 The Game. At the time, was it a tremendous love of basketball that swayed you toward the sport? Was it perhaps a fear of maybe having a shorter career in football, or was it just strictly the business of not feeling like you're going to be drafted that high?
It was the fear of not being drafted that high. And I was also, you know, behind in basketball because I hadn't played it that often. So I wanted to develop my skills to where I could at least compete. When I went to the combines and different avenues to try to pursue my NBA career. I did continue to work out for football as well, not what they're doing today, to prepare for, you know, pro days and combines and what have you. But, you know, it was just a decision on my part to make sure that I was properly prepared for the skill that I needed for the NBA because I was behind. Because I played football most of the time, and my basketball skill development was lacking. And so I put a little bit more time in that to prepare myself for the NBA, but it wasn't a, you know, one love over the other. It was just more of a business type decision, and then recognizing where I was in my development.
1993 Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer, 11-year NBA vet. He's now the head coach of the Florida State University Schools men's basketball team in Tallahassee. Charlie Ward with us here on 95.7 The Game. Charlie, thanks so much for your time this morning. We greatly appreciate it.
Hey, Charlie, wanted to say real quick, Charlie, before you go, it was an honor talking to you, man. Me and Ward played together in Tampa and always, you know, told me a lot of great stories and just who you are as a person and as a man. And you guys have definitely the same demeanor, very, very charismatic. So take care. Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Charlie.
Great guy.
Do you think, I mean, he and Warrick Dunn, they used to torment college football.
Oh,
they were
God.
In so many big games back in the day, the Gator games, the Notre Dame games. I mean, Charlie and Warrick, that was Florida State football under Bobby Bowden. That was some of the best Florida State football of all time. Kyler Murray choosing football over baseball. I was thinking about this last night because he's a first-round MLB pick. Could be a first-round NFL pick. So he's got big-time options. It's not as if he's a great football player and an average baseball player. It's not as if a sensational baseball player, mid-level football guy. Top tier, both sports. Baseball, you can probably make more money long-term. You have a chance of staying healthy or at least avoiding more serious injury. And there was a third one in there, but I can't remember what it was, versus the NFL where you can make some big money early. But, you know, there's some risk that comes with it.
You got to be – baseball, the biggest thing about baseball, Joe, is you make the money – you don't make necessarily money early, you make it later. Football, if you make it early, you could be a bust, but you made it early. But if you're not a bust and you're a quarterback in that particular position, you can make the hundreds, hundreds of millions.
Massive, yeah.
Massive. And in baseball, if you're a slap hitter, you're not a home. You get pitchers get paid and the big ball hitters get paid. The guys just, you know, hit, you know, for RPOs or just hit just to get on base. Those aren't the guys that get the huge money like football, though.
How much of it do you think comes down to marketability? What I mean by that is this. The best player in Major League Baseball, no one knows what he sounds like. Nobody knows what Mike Trout sounds like. Nobody sees Mike Trout anywhere. Mike Trout is Mickey Mantle. That's what he is. Mike Trout is Mickey Mantle, and nobody knows about him. You don't see him in commercials. You don't hear from him. You don't know who he's dating. You don't see him at the clubs. You don't see him making movie appearances. You see nothing from Mike Trout. Nothing, ever. That's baseball's best player consistently, and you see nothing from it. Meanwhile, you go to the NFL, Blake Bortles is one of the NFL's worst players, and you hear about him every day, every day for a really bad small market team. Like, do you think a lot of kids as they're growing up, I mean, boxing's dying to an extent in part because guys who can box in the heavyweight division are just taking their size and strength and going and playing football. They're going and playing basketball. They're focusing more on that. Do you think younger kids, if they have these options, they're thinking, man, I'd rather play football. Football's cool. They're dancing in the end zone. They get endorsements. I see these dudes everywhere. Baseball, it's like you could be Mike Trout. No one even knows you.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to, for a young man like this, is fun. And if you read Julian McWilliams today in The Athletic, he has a good piece that shows you that every step along the way, he's chosen football over baseball. We played in the wooden bat league in the offseason, and he had to cut it short because football camp was starting. So consistently he's chosen football, and I think it's partly because of the exposure, but primarily football's a lot more fun than baseball.
Five big questions for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors Live, where you can win cash, Warriors game tickets, learn from the knowledgeable Matt Steinmetz, and laugh with the lovable Daryl the Guru Johnson. Talk about the complete package.
Curry from the hash mark. He got it! Curry!
Listen to Warriors Live 90 minutes before every Warriors game on the home of the NBA champs. 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Mark it down, take a picture. LaDainian Tomlinson, former New York Jets running back, set to join us today at 8 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, wow.
Gary Sagine at 8:30, Tim Roy at 9:30. We're giving away tickets to a show at 8:45 this morning. Now, that's going to be right before Beat the Bookie. Here's the thing. I was told I cannot tell you what the show is until at least 7 o'clock. It's an awesome show.
I'll make a guess.
It's coming to Oracle. It has not been revealed yet. So when it becomes the appropriate time, I will reveal it. But you are going to want to win these tickets. 8:45 this morning, you can win them. Now, you're going to take a guess. Here's how this works. You're either wrong or you're right and you get us in trouble. You don't know the answer, do you?
No.
All right, then I'm confident you won't get it right. Take a shot.
Yeah, I was thinking, since you're talking about being at the Oracle, one of the last great stadiums left, would all the people that won, the billions of listeners that want to come out to watch Daniel rub my feet, I think that's going to be the event that people are talking about. Yeah, so that may be it. I think I'm excited about
it. It's not that. We are giving away tickets to watch Daniel rub your feet to lucky golden ticket winners next week. But that won't be at Oracle.
Oh.
That's not happening at Oracle.
Nor is that a concert. So,
nor is that under embargo where we can't announce it. We've been announcing that for quite some time. Yeah. You know, do you have the funeral music? Just cue up the funeral music.
No.
Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. Just make it quick, Dave.
Dearly beloved, 6:49 was supposed to be a proud minute for this program on this Friday, but Lowe had to corrupt it with some cockamamie guests. So unfortunately, Lowe, that minute and your ability to guess must
rest in peace.
It's tough, but it was just such a bad guess. It had to be funeralized.
Had to.
We had to put that thing out of its misery. All right.
Come on.
Five questions. Are you two prepared?
Yeah.
Because I got five big questions coming
Absolutely.
Your way. Five questions for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs.
Go, Dibbers.
Number one.
We'll start with Dan Dibley. Question number one. Who? Player, team, franchise, coach, you name it. who has the most to lose this weekend?
I was vacillating between the coach and the player of this team, but I'm going with the player, and it's Jared Goff, the quarterback of the Rams. His career has been reclaimed. It was a reclamation project by Coach McVay. He's looked good in the regular season, but if you can't win a playoff game at home for the second straight year, the whispers will turn into rumblings, and his job security will be at an all-time low.
Rams, 7-point favorites over the Cowboys this weekend. Low, who has the most to lose this weekend during the divisional
round?
It's
not even close, Joe. For him to say that Rams is crazy, finalize that one. Crank up the music. No, don't do it right now. I'll tell you right now, it's easy. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, my God. They haven't won a playoff game since Moby Dick was a minnow. This team hasn't won. Andy Reid can't win. He hasn't won at home. They haven't won on the road. They played the Indianapolis Colts 2 years ago. And who was at the helm? Oh, Alex Smith. Up by 20. They found a way to lose that game. They lose now on being the number one seed in the AFC. Yeah, I think that would be by far he has the most to lose.
All right, the last Kansas City Chiefs home win in the playoffs, January 8th, 1994. Joe Montana threw for 276 yards in a 27-24 win, wild card win over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Number two.
Five questions for the divisional round. Question number two, we're simply flipping question number one. Dibs, who has the most to gain this weekend?
I'm going to say the Los Angeles Chargers, because you've got a situation where they need to win the big one. They need to get back to the Super Bowl. They haven't been since old Humphreys got motorboated by the 49ers. And
old
a chance,
Humphreys.
Old Humphreys. You're able to stand, Humphrey.
Stand.
If you're able to go to New England and beat the GOAT, the quarterback GOAT in Tom Brady, you're going to give your product a lift, not only with the road victory, but moving Phillip Rivers closer to a Super Bowl. And in your quest to win a piece of Los Angeles, you need to do something special this year. So a win in New England would go a long way toward getting them some decent fans.
Go Chargers, go.
Yeah.
Five questions for the divisional round. Lorenzo Neal, who? Player, coach, franchise, you name it. Who has the most to gain this weekend?
Wow, Dibs, I'm surprised that we and you were not in the same church. We're not in the same pew. We're nowhere even in sight.
It's a different
another.
Religion,
I
coach.
Mean, yeah, we are. And for you to Amen. Sit there and talk about the Chargers being have the most, come on, Joe. Everyone's taking the Chargers. They said Phillip Rivers, they're rooting for him. They're saying that defense, the two bookends, they got guys that can move around. The defense is playing absolutely amazing. Phillip Rivers is on a tear. The ageless wonder. Everyone's expecting him to win that game.
Chargers,
there's only one team right now, if you look out there and say, who would have the most to gain? And without a doubt, it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Chargers,
how about the Cowboys, America team? If they can find a way to go to L.A. and beat Jared Goff and that awesome Ram team,
without a doubt,
they have the most to gain.
Near
a lot
uptick.
Going on here.
Near uptick.
A lot going on here as we continue along with five questions for the divisional round.
Number three.
Number three, which of the following underdogs is most likely to pull off the upset this divisional round weekend? Team number one, the Indianapolis Colts. Team number two, the Dallas Cowboys. Team number three, the Los Angeles Chargers. Team number four, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I know where Lowe's going, and as per the usual, we're in different churches and different pews on this one. I'm not trying to pander to the lead dog on the program, but it's Philadelphia. You've got a New Orleans team that's coming off not 1 week off, but two, because they rested the majority of their team in a Week 17 effort. So you're going to have a rusty Saints team against a Philadelphia team, defending champions, that may have found some sort of magic in their backup quarterback. I think Philly's got the best chance to pull off the upset.
Go Chargers, go!
That seems to fit.
Five questions for the divisional round. Question number three, low. Which of the following underdogs is most likely to pull off the upset? The Colts, Cowboys, Chargers, or Eagles?
Yeah, with me, I look at it no further than you-know-who. Indianapolis! That's right. If you look at the way they're playing defense, they're playing the best defense out of all four of the teams remaining.
Go
without
Chargers,
a doubt. So when you think about what they're able to do, have they been able to get out the quarterback? They pitched a shutout. They're the only team in the playoffs right now that's the only team that has a shutout. Against who? That's right, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. And a week later, what they do to Tennessee, only held them to seven. So right now, in my opinion, motorboating, absolute motorboat, the team that has the most opportunity, the biggest upset to me, it's got to be the Indianapolis Colts.
Go Chargers, go.
Tough to refute it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on board. Everything sounds pretty sharp there.
Pretty
right,
tight.
Right.
Five questions for the divisional round as we continue.
Number four.
Sonny.
Dibs, we start with you again, and you pick Philadelphia in an upset, or you at least said most likely to win in an upset. Question number four, if Philadelphia wins, will Nick Foles start over Carson Wentz at quarterback next season?
Yes is the answer. I mean, how much more does this guy have to do? He already Philly specialed you into a championship last year, first ever Super Bowl title for Philly, and now he's seemingly doing it again. If you go on the road and pull this off after the magic in Chicago, I'm sorry, Carson, but you may have to find other employment, or you may have to permanently grab that clipboard, because it's going to be Big Nick's turn to start next year.
Go Chargers, go!
Yeah.
Low, if Philadelphia wins this game, if they shock the Saints as 8-point underdogs and win this game after what they did last week, after what they did last season, is Nick Foles the starting quarterback come week one next year?
No, ridiculous. Absolutely not. This guy is like Mary. It's immaculate conception. The guy's getting unbelievable. He's unbelievable in the playoffs. You love what he's able to do. Nick Foles has the biggest bear in what he goes out there and he plays relaxed. Love the kid. Love the guy. The guy didn't even want to play football 3 years ago. He wanted to retire. The guy doesn't love it, but now you put him in a situation where he's not necessarily the starter, and he plays unbelievable. He's unprecedented. No one plays like old Nicky. But I'm going to tell you right now, as a starter, no way. You don't want him. It won't happen. Even if they won a Super Bowl, he's not the starter. Get out of here, Daniel.
Unlike Mary. Chargers, yeah, go Chargers. Unlike Mary, he has scored before. So, yeah, I had to just get that in real quick.
Jesus very had nice. Brothers.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Number five.
Five questions for the divisional round. LaDainian Tomlinson joining us at 8 o'clock today. We will ask him this. Dibs, we'll start with you, though. Philip Rivers, does he need this win to get himself into the Hall of Fame?
I've said it all along. Ever since Philip came into the league, he hasn't done enough to be a Hall of Famer. So, yes, he needs this win. If I ask you what is his signature victory, his signature moment, as a signal caller, pushing the ball around from shoulder height, I don't know if you can tab a game that is of any real significance.
What's Phillip Rivers' biggest win?
I'll have to ask LT and Lowe, a couple of former teammates, but he's been around long enough to have had one. I can't think of it. If he beats New England on the road in the divisional round, and dare I say, gets a home game at the Snub Hub if Indianapolis wins.
Oh, my God.
That would be his finest hour.
Go Chargers, and, go.
Yeah, go applicable. Chargers.
Applicable.
Finally applicable.
Low, Philip Rivers, does he need this win this weekend to get himself into Canton?
No, he doesn't. For Dan to say that, all he has to do is look at guys in the National Football League that are now in the Hall of Famer. Do I need to name a guy named Warren Moon? You heard of that guy, right? What Super Bowl he win? Thanks, Dan. I'll keep waiting. Anyway, another guy, Dan Marino, Miami Dolphins, unbelievable passer. Hadn't won a Super Bowl either. So when you look at around the association and think, oh, my God, he needs this win to be a Hall of Famer, you're wrong and you're out of line. And what, now Nick Foles, because he won a Super Bowl, now Nick Foles, he's been to Hall of Fame, hallelujah. No, he's not getting there either, so Dibs, get out of here.
Go Chargers, go.
So concludes, I guess.
That was an abrupt
Chargers
stop.
Go.
Abruptly.
Yeah, that was quite
very,
abrupt.
Right?
Quite abrupt. It almost feels like, yeah.
That's
how many
five.
Is that? That's five.
Nice guy, Steve. And illegal use of the fader.
Definitely.
Really
usually
good
you slide it down
right
slowly, and then the music will slowly fade out.
No, it's good on you guys, actually. You ended literally as soon as the bed ended. So that's on you. That's good on you guys for timing it right.
We have multiple fouls.
Thank you, Dan.
Unnecessary whining.
Thank
that
you,
one will be enforced. That's a 10-yarder.
Five you, questions for the divisional round of the playoffs. Welcome to your 7 o'clock hour. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1. KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Happy Friday. It is great to have you guys with us on an absolutely action-packed program. LaDainian Tomlinson, the former New York Jet running back, set to join us at 8 o'clock this morning. Gary St. Jean at 8:30, Tim Roy at 9:30. We have Beat the Bookie at 8:45. We have Low versus Dibs at 9:45, but now that it's 7 o'clock, I can announce that the tickets we are giving away at 8:45 this morning are for Dibs. I almost feel like I need a little bit of a drum roll here, if
would
you
love
don't
to.
Mind. Two pairs of tickets before they go on sale to see Calvin Brodus,
okay,
a.k.a. Snoop Dogg, at Oracle Arena Friday,
ooh,
April 19th, celebrating the 25th anniversary of Doggy Style.
Oh, wow.
Special guests will include E-40, mm, Too Short, DJ Quick, The Dog Pound, and Mac Maul. Now, tickets go on sale next Friday, January 18th, but we've got him here.
That's hot.
Two pair to give away at 8:45. Oh, Calvin, coming to Oracle.
Man, that's hot. Especially you talking about the guys, is the other guys that are in there. Woo, E-40, you know, E going to be bringing
Earl.
It. Oh, Earl.
Oh, yeah.
Earl and Calvin.
Man, bring the Visine, folks. Even if you're not, even if you don't partake.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
So cloudy.
Start hydrating now.
Yeah, okay.
Snoop the best. I remember I was doing the on-field play-by-play for the Wounded Warriors game when the Super Bowl was here, and Snoop was playing in the game. He, of course, shows up just a touch late. As he comes in, throngs of people, everyone crowding around wanting to see Snoop, even though there's other pro athletes there, other celebrities. It was all about Snoop. The guy's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Snoop wanted to put one up in there. I would have put the big fella. I said, Snoop, I'm a pass. It's our pass. But we were.
Wow,
we
got wow. Yippee-yay, yippee-yay.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Where was that from?
That was from about 6 months ago, I believe.
Yeah.
That was Lowe doing his Snoop.
You like that, huh?
Bow, wow, yow, yippee-yay, yippee-yay.
Ah! Go ahead, boy.
You got every single thing, vowel baby. Wrong.
Do your thing, Lowe Neal. Do your thing. Yeah, we played that little Wounded Warriors All-Star game. I played in that when the Super Bowl was here with Snoop and stuff. We had a good time, and afterwards he wanted to go get it right. And I said, Snoop, yeah, I'm going to leave you alone. I don't know what you got that stuff, baby boy. I'm going to let you go. So it was a